Acts chapter 1. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. Someone say that with me. The Holy Spirit is alive and say it again. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. Say that to each other. Would you just turn to each other? Say that phrase. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. I'm going to spend just a few minutes this morning on Pentecost Sunday speaking about what the Holy Spirit is still up to. And He's up to great things. Don't you know that's true? Acts chapter 1, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 1 in the scripture this morning. Pat, you have a morning off. Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to go quickly through some scriptures, but remember Jesus had risen from the dead. And before His ascension, He shows Himself to His disciples, but He gives them instructions. And in Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 4, the scripture says, verse 4 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts, "And being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the what? The promise of the Father, which He said, 'You have heard from Me.' For John truly baptized with water," verse 5, "but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." How many of you recall the Holy Spirit had breathed on the disciples? They had had the breath of the Spirit upon them. They had been sent out two by two, and they had had wonderful, miraculous healings, deliverances, demons being cast out. Remarkable things had happened as they went out by the hand and the instruction of the Lord. And Jesus says, don't rejoice that you're seeing Satan fall from heaven, but rejoice what? Remember that your name is written in the book of life. But the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen on them. You go, wait a minute. The considerable things they're doing by the power of God, how can you say the Holy Spirit hadn't fallen? All we can tell you is that Jesus said there's something more to come. And I want you to get that something more that'll radically change you and the entire earth. And we're going to see that in a couple of scriptures. Verse 8. "But you shall receive" what?
Power.
Come on. "You shall receive" what?
Power.
"You shall receive" what?
Power.
"Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." I want you to say with me again, the Holy Spirit,
is
alive
and well.
There's the name of the message, Daniel. The Holy Spirit is alive and well. Verse 8 tells us, "You shall receive power." That word in the Greek is the word dunamis, from which we get our English word what? How many know? Dynamite. Remember the 60s, 70s? Dynamite. There's power that comes. There's dynamite. The miraculous explosiveness of what God wants to do is exemplified by the Greek word dunamis. Dynamite. Dynamic. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And you shall be what? Witnesses. Now that word witnesses in the Greek, we've talked about it before, is the word martus. And the word martus is the word from which we get our English word martyr. You're going to receive power from God to be witnesses, to be alive, to be empowered by God to go through great times and difficult times. Can I ask you a question, church? Anybody in this room ever gone through a difficult time? Turn to each other and say, what are you doing going through difficult times? No, I'm kidding. There's difficult times that happens to all of us. And in the scripture, He says, some of you are going to be martus. You're going to be witnesses and martyrs. And you recall in the early church, indeed that happened. In the Colosseum, the dedicated sold-out Christians used to argue with one another about who would be next to be thrown to the lion. It's my turn. No, no, no. Let me go first. Because the power of the Holy Ghost had come upon them, had infused them, and enabled them to go through whatever difficulty they might occasion to find. How many know the women in the abusive situations are going through incredible difficulty? There are people in America that go through considerable difficulty just for the testimony of Jesus Christ. How many of you know the devil owns the cosmos? The Greek word cosmos. The scripture says, love not the world nor the things of the world. And that Greek word is cosmos. And we're not called to love the world. We're called to be separate. Strangers and pilgrims on this earth, it says in the book of Hebrews. It doesn't mean we don't live in the world, but it means we're not of the world. How many thank God Jesus saved you and redeemed you from the world? So the cosmos belongs to the devil, and the world is plummeting headlong, rapidly, in a direction that is anti-Jesus Christ and His church. Don't you know that's true? Read it, see it, television, all that. But guess what? Guess what? That doesn't take Jesus by surprise. How many think Jesus is surprised? He's probably up there on the throne shaking, just, I don't know if I can handle this, guys. I don't think so. I don't think so. Our Jesus says, I've given you the power to walk in the world, not be of the world, but to walk in the world and be my witnesses. Let the Holy Spirit come upon you. Go and wait, because there's a fresh experience waiting for you. Turn to Acts chapter 2, please. The day of Pentecost. One of the most important feast days in Israel. They still celebrate Pentecost. But on the day of Pentecost, the early church was born, church. The early church was born. And we have our lives radically changed because of what happened right here in the Bible. Acts chapter 2. By the way, a brand new study came out just even within the last month. And it's been true for the last 40 years. Every study, every sociological study you see, every church mission movement that studies it will show you and tell you that the fastest growing churches around the world, in the countries of the world, are the Spirit-filled churches where the Holy Spirit is allowed freedom to move. The charismatic Pentecostal churches. You go, what's that? You know what that is. Some of you go, I don't want to be anything close to that. Well, we don't have to worry about labels. We just get to be baptized in the Spirit and rejoice in Him and give the Spirit room. Somebody say, I want to give the Spirit room. Regardless of the label. So God can move, and God is moving. And around the earth, lives and multitudes of lives are changing because the river of God and the Spirit of God is alive and well and doing His work. Aren't you glad for that, church? Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8. Acts 2, verses 1 through 8. Now, on the day of Pentecost, fully came. They were all with one accord in one place. Jesus had told them to wait, and they were waiting. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a, say it with me, please. I'm reading in the New King James, it says, a rushing, mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. It filled just part over in a corner, because only one or two people could get this, right? That's not what the Scripture says. It filled the whole house. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Maybe you've heard the story in Indonesia, like a mighty wind, Mel Tari's book from a generation ago. And they were talking about how when the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God was poured out in revival on a church, there were all of a sudden roaring engines and clanging sounds from fire engines that came because the report had gone out, the church is on fire. And it turned out to be tongues sitting on top and flames of fire on top. Nobody was burned. The church wasn't burned. It was just the moving of the Holy Spirit. Someone say, thank God. All around the earth, God is alive and well. And they were all filled. Verse 4. See, if I'm lying, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what that says? Your Bible say that? And you know, when you do a deep study on the word all, you know what it comes out, that Greek word. You know what that means literally? All. All filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all those who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? How many know God's big enough to overcome any barriers? God supernaturally moved in such a way that all of these Jews from all around the known world who had come to Israel for the Feast of Pentecost was able to hear the gospel in their own language because the Holy Spirit supernaturally was poured out. And sometimes we say, you know, we can't get into those ISIS-controlled countries. We can't get into those Muslim countries. How many know Jesus can?
Yes.
How many know the Holy Spirit is already moving? You've heard testimonies here before. And there's a book written about dreams and visions. And the Holy Spirit is giving dreams to Muslim people in the middle of the night. They wake up and they go find a Christian to tell them, what does this dream mean? It's Jesus saying, come to me. What does this mean? And multitudes of people are getting saved because God knows exactly what to do and how to move, because the Holy Spirit is alive and well. Can someone say amen this morning? The Holy Spirit is alive and well. Do we want to give Him room? So Peter stands up a little later in this scripture, and timid Peter, who denied the Lord, and timid disciples who had denied and been afraid and stayed in an upper room, and they literally were scared. The Bible says that one of the best proofs of the baptism in the Holy Spirit and the rushing mighty wind in their lives was real is that they rose up remarkably changed as people of power and people who preached the gospel in the midst of others all around them who told them, shut up, don't preach in that name. And they stood up and they said, you determine whether or not we should obey Jesus or obey you. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord and we're going to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit moved and remarkably changed them. I was raised in a Christian home. Went to church every Sunday. Youngest of three boys. Still am. Couldn't stand going to church. Some of you looking so holy, like, oh yeah, I loved it every minute. I just loved it. I couldn't stand going to church. Could not get out of going to church. My mom was a preacher's kid. I had friends in school. They didn't go to church. It was one of those, my friends don't go to church. Oh well, would you jump off a cliff if your friends jump off the cliff? And you know, you want to say, yes, I would. Thank you. Get off my case. But I want to tell you something. The Lord used that, and the Holy Spirit began to move. I'd never heard about the Holy Spirit. I'd never heard Holy, who? Holy Ghost? You know, that's King James, Holy Ghost. Today you say something, somebody about the Holy Ghost, they go, oh, wow, you know, those are movies are made like that about the ghosts, right? But all of a sudden I found out there was something more. I'd been told the gospel, and I love the gospel. And when people don't believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you guys, and the freedom of the Spirit, we relate with them just on those things that we can. The blood of Jesus, the grace of God, the forgiveness. We don't shove the Holy Spirit down anybody's throat, but we're here to tell you He's alive and well. And so somebody told me, Kevin, He's alive and well. And I went, what are you talking about? He said, you got to repent, believe, be baptized, and receive the Holy Ghost. I said, well, I've been a believer a long time. I don't like church, but I was a believer. I remember a friend saying to me, I don't want to take forever on this, but I remember a friend saying to me one time, Kev, in high school, we're praying for you. We're praying for you. You know, usually that's a good thing. All it does is make me mad. What do you mean you're praying for me? My ministry was I go out drinking with my friends and I talk to them about prayer every now and then and going to church. How many know Kevin was thoroughly deceived? But there came a time where I really did surrender my life to Jesus. And somebody laid hands on me. And the Holy Spirit came upon me, came into me, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's other scriptures, and we can go into all of them. There's a whole teaching online in building your faith. And our website is gracechristiancenter.us. High five. You all did great. GraceChristianCenter.us. You can find a message on this, and it goes much more in depth in all of this. But the Holy Spirit is alive and well. He changed my life, radically changed. From then on, I didn't have part of a gospel. I had a full gospel where I understood He didn't just tell me to go live nice, but He gave me the power that helped me walk with Him day by day. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, is your teacher. He's your comforter. He's your peace, your healer, your strength. How many in this room ever get conviction from the Holy Spirit? Oops, that's sin. Come on, anybody? That's because He's alive and well. How many ever receive comfort, from the Holy Spirit. How many ever receive, when you're reading the Scriptures, all of a sudden the Spirit opens your eyes and you go, oh, that's what that means. I've read that 20 times. You know what we say among ourselves? Who put that verse in the Bible when I wasn't looking? Because it didn't say that before. But all of a sudden, there comes a time and the Spirit says, I'm going to teach you something now. And we give Him room. And we don't shove anybody and we don't push anybody, but we give Him room. And He's alive and He's well. And some people say, well, wait a minute, that's not for me. That's just for special people. And only a few can get this because, you know, not everybody can do this. I mean, after all, take a look at Acts chapter 2, verse 36, and I'm going to read 5 verses. Acts chapter 2, you're right there, verses 36 through 41. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, there's a politically correct preaching, right? He stands up, the Jews are looking at him, they're all upset, and Peter's just trying to please him. He says, the one, you know, Jesus, who you crucified. I think he was pretty honest about the gospel at that point. Now, when they heard this, verse 37, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Watch this. For the promise is to you, verse 39, to your children, to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. How many of you know God is calling everybody, and whoever says yes, God's calling that person? And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Now, verse 41, I want you to really tune in on a phrase. Verse 41. Then those who gladly received, say that with me, gladly received his word, were baptized. That day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Now when you do your study, you turn to Acts chapter 8, and you find a great revival broke out in the cities of Samaria. There's no time to go through it this morning, but read it on your own. It was a great revival broke out. There were healings and deliverances. And the apostles who were still in Jerusalem, when they heard what had happened in the revival that broke out, they said to themselves, we need to go down there because the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen on any of them. Wait a minute. They believed, were healed, remarkably transformed, changed, gave their life to Jesus. How can you say the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen on them? But there was a distinct movement separate from their initial salvation that gave them more life in the Lord. And so the apostles went down. The Bible says they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, how do they know that? How do they know they received the Holy Spirit? You follow that up and go to Acts chapter 10. And in Acts chapter 10, you read about the Gentile Cornelius, who was a wonderful, God-fearing man, who then had sent for Peter to come and preach the gospel to them. Do you remember when the trance fell down? Peter was hungry and he was up on the roof of the house and the sheet come down and it's all sorts of clean animals and the Holy Spirit says, Peter, rise and eat. You remember that? Remember that section of scripture in the book of Acts? Rise and eat. And he goes, he argues with the Lord. He's kind of like us, isn't he? Anybody in this room ever stubborn? Okay, turn to each other and say, not you, I know. Okay, so the Holy Spirit says, rise up and eat. He goes, oh, no. I've been clean from the time I was a youth. I don't eat bad stuff. I ain't eating that stuff. The sheet comes down 3 times in front of Peter. And then, which is a picture for Peter of what's to happen next, because a good Jew wasn't supposed to have a thing to do with the Gentiles. And the Holy Spirit says, you're going to have somebody come and knock on the door and you're going to go preach the gospel to them. I've sent them for you. You go with them. Next thing you know, knock on that door. Peter goes to Cornelius' house, and they're gathered, and they want to hear the good news of Jesus. First time the gospel's preached to the Gentiles. And the Bible says, in the midst of what he was saying, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And they received, the scripture says, the Holy Spirit, just like we have. They turned among themselves. They go, what's happening? God does things bigger than we do. Anybody can say amen? God knows how to do bigger than we know how to do. Okay, you can't do that. I remember thinking that just inside. I remember a long time ago in the 70s, there was an angel that would show up in the back of people's cars. They would hitchhike, you know, and an angel would be there and talk to them about Jesus and disappear. You remember the story? Anybody ever hear that story? I remember hearing that story, and I remember saying, that can't be God. That's not God. That God would not hitchhike. It's illegal. How many know Kevin was a dork and wrong? But the Holy Spirit shows up, and they say to them, to each other, this is more than we thought was going to happen. This is incredible. How can we deny what has just happened? They lead them into water baptism. But I want to ask you a question. If you study Acts chapter 10, how did they know the Holy Spirit fell upon them? How did they know? Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 48. Acts 10, 44 through 48, and we're going to come to a close next Tuesday. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. Verse 45, Acts 10, verse 45. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as who came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. How do they know that? For, verse 46, they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Now, we don't believe that the only resulting gift of having received the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the gift of speaking in tongues. We believe the scripture shows it's the most common gift that is received. But something remarkable takes place in the life when the Holy Spirit has been poured out. And what I'm here to say to you today is that the Holy Spirit is alive and well. He's moving every bit today as he did back then at the day of Pentecost. And I invite you, the Lord commands us, but I invite you, aren't I nice? I invite you, if you've not yet received the Holy Spirit in this way in your life, he is here for you today. And I encourage you to surrender to him in that way. And some people say, well, you know, if he wants me to, he'll make me. The scripture said, we read it a while ago, those who gladly received, those who press in and gladly received. And it said all, etc. So what I'm here to tell you is all can. He's available to all. And if you've tried and it didn't work, try again. You know, I mean, if you picked up a fork as a kid and learned how to eat, most of you in this room look like you tried again if it didn't work. I certainly know I did. So I have to try to practice putting it down. The whole point of life is, you know, if you want something, you go for it. But we have people here to pray for you and love you. And I remember one of the greatest joys of my life was kneeling down with my brother who's been here to preach and praying for him to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He'd heard all about this. And he loved the Lord. And so it doesn't mean you don't love the Lord. It just means there's something more. And we knelt down and he began to speak in other tongues. And what do you do? How do you do that practically? Well, you trust the Lord to do what only he can do. But you do what only you can do. What does that mean? It means you begin to form those syllables and the Holy Spirit turns it into a prayer language. You go, that sounds like making it up. Come on, Kevin. No, you've got to do something. You've got to give it some voice. You've got to give it some mouth. And God will turn it into a prayer language. He knows what to do. And he knows how to do it. And so I knelt down with my brother and I gave him that instruction and I said, come on, let's just step out in faith. And sometimes people are afraid and they do it on their own and this all happens later. But what happens is the Spirit comes upon you, turns this, and it comes in such a way that you know you're not making it up. But remember, like any language, when you start with a few syllables and you don't have a free-flowing language as a little kid starting. It grows as you give it. And he began to speak in tongues, and the spirit of joy that came upon him, we knelt down together and we laughed and we laughed and we laughed, and there was a fantastic time. God is alive and well. The Holy Spirit is alive and well, and he invites you. We do not push, but we invite you. If there's economic value in a bar of gold, how many would like one bar of gold? How many would like 100 bars of gold? That's all it simply is. The Holy Spirit is here, and he says, I've got more. I've got, somebody say it with me,
more.
The Holy Spirit is alive and well. Will you stand with me, please? Musicians, will you come? Father, we thank you for this great, great day. We thank you that we've had just a great time to be together in your house. And thank you for the richness of your spirit and the richness of the moving of your presence. And Lord, today I pray for your people as they go from this place, they'll go with great joy and life, knowing that you've blessed us as we've been together and you are our strength and our life. Bless each one, Lord, today with encouragement as they go from here, knowing we've been built up in the house of the Lord. Thank you for our time together, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14. Let me quickly finish with one verse and we'll sing. The Apostle Paul has a verse, and some people quote it, that says, I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather that you prophesy. It says that in the King James. May I simply give you a simple instruction? When you look into the Greek, it literally means this. This is literally what it says in the Greek. I would that you all spake with tongues, but rather in order that you may prophesy. The Scripture says, he who speaks in an unknown tongue, and it's not all about tongues, but the Scripture says, when you do, you build yourself up in the Spirit and make yourself stronger in the Lord. Anybody in this room could use more strength than Jesus? That's what it's all for. There are pamphlets in the back where Pastor Sherry will have them. We have a few of those. If you'd like one and they're out, go ahead and ask her to print one up for you. She'll be happy to do so. So, God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.